So like 41A4?
41B1.
41B1.
That's where we're up to.
41B1, no, we're past that. 41B1?
Membez.
Kimem Aleph on the base. Next page. Okay, for those with the Schottenstein Gemara, 41B1, second column, Toshma. Okay, the Gemara was discussing the din that we said before. Maida beknas, if somebody admits, right? If somebody admits a knas, then they're potter. Correct? Mammon, monetary things, if you admit, you still have to pay. But knas, you don't have to pay. And the Gemara went into an argument, and that's what this whole Gemara is now. When a shard for the first three times kills an animal, you pay half damages. Is that half damages monetary? Palga Nezika, half damages, is that monetary? Or is it a fine? That was the Gemara's arguing. So now the Gemara says, Toshma, come, I'll prove it. It says, for those that have the regular Gemara's, we're like 10 lines in the top of the page. Okay? So it says, Toshma, Zahaklal, this is the rule. Kala Meshalim Yesa Mashahizik, whoever pays more than what the actual monetary damage is, Ein Meshalim Apiatmi, doesn't pay if he admits it. Like we said, what's the definition of a knas? That it's not what you damaged, it's more than what you damaged. Right? Knas, like double, four or five times the amount. But also, what does the Braisa say though? The Braisa says, what is knas? When you pay more than the damages, which implies if you pay less than the damages, it's not knas. The Gemara defines, this Braisa defines what's a knas, what's a fine, when you pay more than what the damages is, right? Which implies if it's less, meaning half, it's not knas. So that's a question on the opinion that says that half of it is knas. So the Gemara says, no. Leitema poch mashihizik. Okay, don't say that it excludes that if it's half, you know, you don't pay. Learn the braisa this way. When you pay what you damage, that's mammon. But if you don't pay what you damage, it could be either more or less, right? That's knas. So this is the way the Gemara is interpreting the braisa. If you pay what you damaged, that's monetary. If you don't pay what you damage, more or less, it's not. Then it's knas. So therefore, it's not a question. Half nezikin is knas. So Igmar says, "Avol pachas mai." But less. What are you saying? Ein mishalim al piatzmi. You don't pay by yourself. So that's the. It should say something else. Listener, why does the Braisa use the expression knas is when you pay more? The Braisa should have said, like he says, "Kol ma, kol sheinu mishalim kamashi hizik, einu mishalim apiatmi." In other words, like this, the Braisa says, the wording of the Braisa is, if you pay more, then it's knas. And the Gemara has to interpret it to mean that even less is also knas. Yeah, so the Gemara says a very simple thing: let the Braisa say clearly, when you pay what you damaged is money. That's not what the Braisa said. Why does the Braisa use the expression when you pay more than what you damaged? It should say when you pay what you damaged is money. So the Gemara says, Mashma pachas mashma yatir, which implies would have meant either way, more or less. And the Gemara says, Tiyufta. Because from this Braisa, it seems to imply clearly that it's monetary.
Did you also say it says you pay less also? It's
no, it doesn't say that in the Braisa. The only thing the Braisa says is, what's the definition of a fine when you pay more than you damaged? But the Gemara says, if that's the case, half damages is also knas, according to that opinion. That opinion says it's knas. So the Braisa doesn't seem to imply that. So the Gemara says, Tufti, you're right, it's refuted. Mele, the Gemara Paskin, listen, it's very interesting with the next line. So the Gemara rules, half damages are monetary. Because what does the Braisa say? Only when you pay more, it's knas. But and then the Gemara rules. But the Hilchasa Palga Nazika Knosa. The Gemara says like this: the Braisa refutes the opinion that says it's Knas. And then the Gemara second next line: the Halacha is that it's Knas. So the Gemara says to Yufta Vilchasa, we just refuted that opinion. How can you say the Halacha is like that opinion? Right?
Right. Oh, he said, no, the Brayta, if it's more, it's cannot, but if it's less, it's not cannot.
Right.
It's the opposite. Not the same thing.
No, which means half damages for a short is what?
It's not a
Mamun or Kanas.
It's Mamun. It's not a Kanas. If it's only
so
more,
that, that refutes the opinion. Before the Gemara, there was an opinion that said half damages is Kanas. Yeah. So this Brayta refutes it. Yeah. Right? That means according to this Brayta, what's the halacha? It's money, not knas. Yes. And then the Gemara, the next line, the Gemara rules, it's knas. So the Gemara says, you just refuted that opinion. How can you say the halach is like that opinion? So the Gemara says, no. Because the Gemara says now, the question that the Gemara asked in the Brais is not a question. It's not a question. And the Gemara taka rules, by the way, have damages or knas.
Oh, the
that's the Gemara's ruling. Halacha, pauga nazika knasa. There's a question from the Braisa. The Braisa doesn't say it. It says like this. Time of my Taisiv. Why was the, what was the question from the Braisa? Mishum Dloiktani Kamama Shehizik. Yeah? Because the Braisa should have said, what was the whole question of the Gemara? Why does the Braisa say more? The Braisa should have said, when you pay, what you damage is money. That would imply more or less, right? He says, you know what? Leipsika, you can't make that as a rule. Meaning, he says, "Kiven the ika chazi nezik sereidus," because there is a case of a half nezik and sereidus. I'll explain the second one is the hilchas segamira. There's halacha mashem esinai that that's monetary. Mishum hachi leketani, meaning like this. There's a din. It's a very strange din. Logically, it doesn't make sense. But the gemara says halacha mashem esinai. That's the halacha. If an animal is walking in the street. And while it's walking, you know, like the trucks kick up stones.
Yeah.
An animal, while it's walking in the street, kicks up a stone, and it breaks the window. Mm-hmm. Or damages something, whatever, it doesn't matter what, let's see, breaks the window. So even though the animal damaged the window, but there's a lochal meshim sinai, that you pay half damages, and the half damages is money, not knas. It's money. It's a hilchas gemira the mamaynahu. Okay, there's a halacha meshim sinai that. Okay, it's half damage and it's money. So he says mishum hachi leiktani. Therefore, the braiser couldn't say less is knas, because not always less is a knas.
It's halacha meshim.
Because by tzreiris
pebbles.
Pebbles, that's money. So the truth is, the Gemara says like this, half damages by an axe goring, that could be knas. Why doesn't the Braisa say more or less is knas? Because there's a case of less by tzreiris,
which is
mammon. So you can't say, but the halacha is, the Gemara says, the damages of an axe is knas. Oh, well, the halacha is it's knas. Why doesn't the Braisa say less is knas?
First three times.
Because tzreiris is mammon and there's no knas. Okay? Now the Gemara, so therefore like this.
So the Braisa doesn't say, but the halacha is that
it's knas.
It is knas.
Right. Now, what does that mean in a practical sense? Number one, if the guy admits it, he's potter. The guy's axe gores another axe. And before he was caught, so to speak, he ran to Beis Din and says what his axe did. So it made a b'knas, his potter. Secondly, like we discussed last week, in Bavel you can't collect knas. Right?
In Bavel.
So in Bavel, the Beis Din couldn't get damages for an axe killing the first three times. Right? That's... Okay, so now the Gemara continues.
That's for goring, but what about for
Tzedaitis? Half nazik is money you could collect in Bavel.
Because
money.
Right.
Money you could collect in Bavel. Yeah. And if a guy admits, he would still have to pay. But now the Gemara says like this. Some crazy cases don't apply too much today. Okay? Now, remember one more thing we need to say. Why did that opinion say it's knasa, well, not money? Because remember, we learned before in the Gemara, most oxen don't go around goring. It's a weird case. So really, you shouldn't pay anything. Right? The Chachamim made a fine, you know, take care of your animal. That was what the Gemara said before. So it says like this, Hash the Dhamma Pagan Zika Knas, anything which is uncommon is Knas. So if that's the case, Kalba da Achli Imre, a dog that killed and ate sheep, or Shunra da Achatanagel Ravrevi, a cat that killed and ate large chickens, Mishunahu, it's not normal, Vule Magvinim Babavel, therefore they're not collectible in Babel. Meaning like this. Dogs normally don't kill and eat sheep. Because sheep are usually bigger than dogs. So it's not normal. Or if a cat ate a big chicken, a big rooster, whatever, it's also not normal. So basically, anything not normal, the Gemara says, the halacha is it's knas. Right? That means in Bavel you wouldn't be able to collect it. Because in knas, in Bavel doesn't go hand in hand. But zutra, but if small ones, mashal a cat ate a small chicken, right? Or a dog ate a little sheep or whatever, so then orcho it's normal, with magbin and you collect it in bavel. In other words, the Gemara is just saying now, based on what you're telling me in this halacha, that anything which is not normal is knas. And therefore, when an axe kills another axe, the first three times, it's not normal. So therefore, it's only knas. Right. Right? So the same thing. If an animal eats another animal, which is not the normal way of eating it, you can't collect it in Bavel. Right? But if a cat ate a small bird, a small chicken, which is normal, then you would collect it in Bavel. So you must just, not asking, you must just saying a statement. Based on the halacha that you told us.
So if it's normal,
that if it's normal, it's money. If it's not normal, it's knas. So if the dog ate a not normal thing, a sheep, it's not normal. So then, in Bavel, you wouldn't collect it because it's knas. But if they ate a normal thing that they normally eat, then it's money, and then you pay. Okay? But another thing is like this. Itafis, interesting concept here. Knas, you can't collect in Bavel. Right? But what happens, let's say my cat ate your bird. Small bird. No, a big bird. A big one. So in Bavel, they can't collect. Right? But if you, the guy that got damaged, grab my cat as payment, you can keep it. Bezdin cannot make you pay a knas in Bavel. Because Bavel can collect knas. But if you grab it, you got it.
Seriously?
Yep.
That's not even bad.
Nope.
You grab what?
You grab the cat for payment.
Oh,
that's collateral.
The cat ate my chicken, a big one. The turkey from the White House that was pardoned.
Pardoned turkey.
Yeah, it was eaten by the White House cat. Yeah. So the Gemara said, it's not normal, it's knas. So in Bavel, you can't collect it. Right? But what happens if the owner of the chicken that got killed, yeah, grabbed the cat for payment, then he would keep it.
Why in Bavel can't they?
Because they have to have smicha from Moshe Rabbeinu Ish Mi Pi Ish, you know, that whole thing, and that only exist in Eretz Yisrael.
What about when they came back from Bavel? What about when they returned from
Bavel? By the way, I do want to add, it doesn't mean he only grabbed the cat. If he grabbed property of the owner of the cat that damaged the stuff, He can keep it.
Anything. And money.
Anything. Money, anything.
What if he steals his Mercedes? For the chicken. He can keep the Mercedes.
Not the value. Not more than that, yeah.
Put a mortgage on the Mercedes, and then, you know.
Well,
no, you pay the damage.
You take anything?
Yeah, but it has to be the value of the object. Or if it's more, Bezdin takes back the money. I mean, if the chicken that the guy killed is $25, you can't grab a $1,000 item
right.
And say, oh, I grabbed it.
And if he does, then
he has to give back $975.
Is there any such a thing if someone owe you money and he doesn't want to pay you? But you have access to something by there. Can you grab it? That thing? Is it?
That's a machlokes in the Gemara in Bava Kamma. What's called Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshi. Can a person take the law into his own hands? Oh. And the halacha, it's a machlokes in the Gemara, the halacha is he could.
Wow.
Really?
But only you could, not somebody else.
Isn't there like a
no hitman?
No
hitman. Isn't there an idea, like, let's say a person has a claim to somebody's land or somebody's like property? Or
okay, we're not talking about land. We're talking about tangible items.
Tangible items. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, Taisus holds in this Gemara, only if he grabbed the cat can he keep it. Nothing else. Rashi says, if he grabbed money of the Mazik, yeah, he could take it. Tesis says no. The last Tesis, Davki Tophis says a mazik atzmi. Avol doch
v'achaloi. What is the logic?
Tesis says very simple, because everybody's going to start grabbing everybody's things.
Yeah.
So he's
no, it's the Tesis holds he can't.
It'll be a free for all.
By the way, you said the halacha was that a person can take revenge or take the law into his own hands.
No, I'm saying you could, the guy himself, not to take the law into your own hands, that to kill you because you do. I'm saying I could take the law into my own hands if you took something from me.
Yeah.
And I believe it's, did you owe me the money? I can go into your house and grab it. Then take me to Bezdin. Bezdin will rule who's right.
So
but I have a right to take it.
Breaking an entry is not necessarily a crime.
We're not talking about breaking an entry. That's it.
You have access.
You have access to it.
So
he invites you over for Shabbos dinner.
Right. But Taisus says, not like Rashi. Rashi holds, you could take any money of his. If the cat killed the chicken, and then there's no knas in Bavel. But Taisus says you can only grab the cat, not money. Okay, Daniel says like this. Benkach or Benkach? No, I'm sorry.
Wait, does that mean the value of the cat or the cat itself?
No, Taisus says only the cat.
The cat itself.
The mazik
cat that ate the bird.
You can only grab the cat, not the value of the cat. No.
Oh, okay.
Now, what happens if the damaged party, now because it's Bavel, he can't collect his money, right? He says, let's go to his Eretz Yisrael. Where they do judge Knas. Right? He says, let's set a date and go to Eretz Yisrael to the courts because over there they could collect knas. Right? So let's go. We do it. We set him a date. But, if he doesn't go, then you put him to chedim.
Oh, wow. Huh?
You damage my goods. It's knas. I can't collect it. They say, okay, let's go to Eretz Yisrael.
But this happened in Bavel.
Right. But he says, okay, let's judge it in Eretz Yisrael. Let's go to Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael.
The Supreme Court.
Yeah, let's go to Bezdin in Eretz Yisrael. So Bezdin says, okay, we'll set you a date. Then I don't show up. So he put me into Chedim.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, listen, after you've traveled how many days from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, how many days
during that?
Yeah, not that much.
In the old days,
No,
we're talking about
it.
By the way, it's only 30-day... whatever.
Now, if he agrees, then doesn't show up. But if he decides, I don't want to go.
Limousine.
No, it's a 30-day cherem, you're saying.
Thirty days to go from bubble to...
How long could the cherem they put him in? Or as long as he doesn't show up? Or is it...
As long as he's alive.
As long as he's alive, they put him in the cherem?
No, 1 second. No, I'm sorry. The guy that got damaged...
Yeah.
Says, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah? So he set a date. If the guy that damaged the cat, not the owner of the cat, he doesn't go, so they put a ban on him for 30 days.
For 30 days.
So if they make a date, they have to go.
They both have to go.
Which, yeah, but he's for sure going to go. He wants his money.
Of course, yeah.
Now normally, he brings out the bottom of the whole thing over here. And normally, you can't force me to go to another Beis Din.
Yeah.
Can't force me. Like, we have a court case, me and you here. Today even, didn't tell you, yeah? And, one of us say, you know, I want to go to New York. You can't force me to go to New York. There's a court here that could do it. We'll do it here.
What if you suspect?
So 1 minute. So why does the guy have a right to go to Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah, agrees. He wants to go.
No.
No?
No. The guy said, I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. The
court here can't.
Because Kanas Mavon, is that?
Yeah, but, no. You damaged me, yeah?
Right.
So I said, let's go to Eretz Yisrael, I want to get my money.
Because you won't get your money in Mavon.
Why can't I, why, if it'll be a regular case, not Kanas,
okay.
I couldn't say, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. Right?
Because you won't get his money in Mavon.
So the Dvart is like this. When there's a court that is able to make a decision, I have no right to go to a bigger Beis Din, even in New York, Israel, wherever it is. But here, the courts can't rule on it. Torah says the courts can't rule on it because it's Kanas.
Yeah.
So over there, he has a right to say, let's go to another Beis Din. Mm-hmm. If there's a court here that could rule on it,
right.
Tough luck. You can't stop the guy to, let's go to wherever. But if there's a court that cannot do it, or no court can do it, so then you have a right to demand it goes to Eretz Yisrael. And then if the guy doesn't come, he's put into a ban.
Rabbi, isn't it also, he won't get his money. They can't rule on it. He won't get his money.
Right, no, but I'm saying the vart is because there's no bezin. But by the way, what the Gemara basically, the Mefarshim say, what the Gemara actually means is, that will might threaten the guy to pay it anyway.
What?
It might force the guy on his own to pay it.
Oh, because he doesn't want to step to
first of all, because he has to step to Eretz Yisrael. And he knows, if there's witnesses, that it happened, the damage has happened.
Right.
Eretz Yisrael is going to rule to pay it. Just think about it. Okay? See, there's a big possibility the case will go against him. Plus the schlepping and the expenses to go to Bavel. You know, the donkey rides are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have food. I mean, lodging.
Just to go to a court
case, that's like a whole month?
Whatever it is. It doesn't take him a month.
How long it take?
I don't know. Depends how fast the donkey was.
Well, how long it takes
Iran,
to go to Bavel?
Iran to Israel.
Iraq to Israel.
Iraq to Israel, sorry.
It depends where in Iraq or where in Israel.
But you gotta walk there, you know?
That's what I'm saying. It depends which part.
That's a long
shot. It's a long
shot. For a court case.
But the Gemara says that because really, the court can do it. So what does the guy gain? The guy's smart. He says, okay, let's go to Eretz Yisrael. And he has a right to do it. So that might force the guy to say, you know what, forget it. I'm going to pay you the money anyway, and that's it. But Beis Din can't enforce it to pay because it's Kanas. Okay. Bangkok, and then the Gemara says like this.
Rabbi, would there be a difference between the Kanas and the amount, of it?
No.
Be the same?
No, same thing.
Same thing.
Then the Gemara says another thing. Whether the guy says, let's go to Israel or not, yeah? They put a ban on the owner of the dog or the cat that did damages. We tell him, Salik Hezekach, destroy your damaging animal. In other words, what Rashi explains means like this. Bezin says, your animal killed? other things, kill your, get rid of your animal. And if not, then they put him into a ban. They tell him, Salika Hezekich, take away, why? See, something like this, Midrab Nosin. The Tanya, Rab Nosin, Amar, Rab Nosin says, Minayin Shli, Gadol Odom, Kelev Rab, Tech Beisei, how do I know this is the Beverly Hills Park, the dog park? How do I know you're not allowed to raise an evil, a bad evil dog? A bad, a vicious dog. Kelev Rab doesn't mean a, means a vicious dog.
Pitbull.
Yeah. How do I know you're not allowed to raise it? You're not allowed to have a shaky ladder in your house because it says by, you know, Maka, when you have to make a roof around your roof, a fence around the roof, mm-hmm. It says, you're not allowed to have blood in your house. Meaning, the Torah says clearly, anything that could be possibly dangerous, like the roof without a fence around it, you have to take it away. Meaning, you have to put a fence there. So the Gemara learns out from there, you're not allowed to have in your house animals that damage. And therefore, even though Bezdin and Bavel can't collect the Knas, whether the guy says it's called Israel or not, doesn't matter, the Gemara says. Bezdin will tell the guy, tell the guy, you have to get rid of the dog or the cat. It was very interesting, if you compare this with what's going on now, you know, the place with the mountain lion ate a bunch of animals, and the guy got a permit.
It's
a lady, by the way, got a permit to shoot the mountain lion.
They rescinded it.
Really?
They did?
Yeah.
When?
Like the beginning of the week, last week.
Uh-huh. No.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. Okay, let's say when they gave her the permit to shoot the mountain lion. Now, the guy... That mountain lion took 60 animals, destroyed 10 of that guy and other animals destroyed, okay? So the guy said, I mean, there was a family, a lady, I don't know who it is. So they said, give me a permit to kill the lion. Look what he's doing to my animals. So the animal rights get all excited, woke up Baruch Hashem, and they said, no, you have to protect your animals better.
That's right.
You have to protect your animals better. Let this mountain lion keep killing whatever, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
You protect your animals better. I mean, it's so ridiculous. According to Teddy, you see, it's not like that. If there's a dangerous animal, you have to kill it.
Right? Kill people too.
That they don't do.
Rabbi, question.
Okay, what's that called? We're starting the new parent.
I don't bring my book.
I have a question.
What?
Based on what we said, you know, we had the shore, the case of the shore.
Right.
So you have like the shore that's a bua, the shore that's a...
I can't read it.
The shore that's a bua, the shore that's a tom.
Right.
And you had this case with the kelev, the vicious dog and stuff.
Kelev.
No comparison?
No. By the way, an axe is only a tom, half damages the first three times, if it gores.
Okay.
Because goring is not normal. But if my axe walks into your field and eats the grain, the first time I have to pay full damages.
Okay, I'm talking about like a dog that's killing other animals or killing a human being or like...
You kill the dog.
You kill the dog. So why don't we compare that to like, say, the ox that's doing the same thing?
No, if an ox kills a person, because an ox is a working animal, it's a whole different story. They need the ox.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, this is also quite easy Gemara, at least at the beginning. Okay, remember we learned before in the previous chapter, if you violate a girl, you seduce a girl, the money goes to the father. You have to pay a fine. Knas, right? Okay. So it says like this. We also learned, 1 minute, we also learned that there's not only the fine, there's depreciation, there's pain, there's embarrassment, right? In addition to that, there's a $50 shekel fine. So we learned before, part of it's monetary. Depreciation is monetary. Embarrassment is monetary. Pain is monetary. The fine, because there's a set amount, no matter who the girl is, that's the knas, right? Okay. So it says like this. Nadishin is patatom. The girl that was seduced. So beishta. Upgama uknasa shalavia. The humiliation, depreciation, and the fine goes to the father. Right? And the same thing, if the girl was raped where there's pain also, Hatzar betfusa, the same thing, pain, it goes to the father. Okay? Now this is the Torah says, Nasan Lavianaira. But the Gemara is saying over here, even the monetary things that she was, goes to the father. Why? Because a girl between 12 and 12 and a half, whatever she owns goes to the father. After 12 and a half, she's a begetus, she keeps it. Okay? But between, up to 12 and a half, even a katan also. Even up to 12 and a half, the thing she earns, makes, whatever, it goes to the father. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss various scenarios. Amda bedin achele meisoav. What happens if she was in court before the father died? Then, harein shalav. The money goes to the father, right? That means the court ruled, okay, when the father was still alive, and the court ruled, the guy has to pay the girl X amount of money for pain, depreciation, embarrassment. Then the money goes to the father, right? What happens, may so av, then the father dies afterwards, who gets the money? Her brothers.
Makes sense.
It's the father's property.
Right.
Remember, in Torah, girls don't inherit, just the boys. Okay? She was violated, or seduced, or whatever it is. So the knas goes to the father. Correct?
Yeah.
And because they went to Beis Din before the father died, the money goes to the father. Now the father dies. Who does the money go to? Not to her, but to the Yorshim, whoever inherits the father. If they're brothers, she doesn't inherit, the brothers do, so they get the money.
Is it less than 12 and a half?
Huh?
Less than 12 and a half?
He's asking if she's less than 12
no,
and a half.
No, girls, but how don't, in
Apitaya. So this one doesn't matter what age? This second part doesn't matter what
no,
age?
No, but like, no, if it's a begetters, the money never went to the father, went to her.
So, yeah, so under he's, asking, and he's asking at this point, we're assuming that she was under.
Under eight, under 12 and a half, when it happened. Okay, now, what happened, listen to this case. Mean what happened like this. They violated the girl, yeah? So normally, if there would be payments, it would go to the father. Before they went to court, the father died. The father died before they went to court. Then they go to court, and the court rules the guy has to pay the money. Who gets the money then?
The girl.
Harei hein shel atzma. It belongs to her. She gets the money.
How is different than the first?
No, the first case was they went to Dintur when the father was still alive. And Beis Din ruled, pay the money. Correct? Amen. Then the brothers get the money. Because then it was already the father's money. Mm-hmm. Correct? Because Beis Din ruled already, you have to pay. But if Beis Din didn't rule yet, and the father died before they went to Beis Din. Or, for that matter, they went to Beis Din, but Beis Din didn't rule, and the father died, then she gets the money. Not her brothers. I'm going to soon learn the reason for that. The money goes to her, not to the brothers.
Well, it seems pretty
that's interesting.
Obvious.
Why would it go to the brother?
The reason, obviously.
Well, maybe if the money is supposed to go to the father. Yeah, but in the first case, we just said if Beis Din ruled, you have to pay the money. Even if he didn't pay yet and the father died, the brothers do get it. Even though she didn't actually pay yet. The guy didn't pay the money yet.
Yeah, why would it go to the brother?
But if Beis Din didn't rule yet, if Beis Din didn't rule that she has to pay. And then the father died, then she gets the money.
Okay.
Not the brothers.
Or not the brothers.
Okay. So it's all based around the rules.
Yeah.
That's a determinant.
Or let's say, I'll give you another din. Amda Badin actually Bagra. They went to Beis Din before she became a Begeris. Okay? But the payments, and then she turned 12 and a half. So now she would get it. But because Beis Din ruled before she was a begetis, so who gets the money? Hanei and Shalav. Therefore, Meso Av, therefore the father dies, Hanei and Shalach, and the brothers get it. What happened? Le'et speaker Lamid Bedin Atche Bogra. They didn't have the Din Tain until she reached 12 and a half. And then, Hanei and Shalatzma, then the money is hers, even if the father dies. In other words, like this. It's a very simple din. Inheritance is money that the father has. Not money that the father will get. It's not his yet. It's not his yet. Correct? Once Beis Din rules, you have to pay, and the father's alive, it's like he got the money already. I'll give you an example. It's like the father lends somebody money, for half a year. And then 3 months later, the father died. When the guy pays back the loan, who does it go to? The sons.
Yeah.
Right? The father didn't have the money when he died, but it was money owed to him.
So it goes to the kids.
Yeah. Right? But the story of the girl, if Beis Din ruled they have to pay, then it's like the father got the money. So then, even if she became an adult later, Bogeres.
They ruled before she became a Bogeres.
Right, so then the money goes to the father. It's the father's money. Even if the guy didn't pay it yet. Therefore, if the father would die, the brothers get it. But if they ruled after she became a Bogeres, then it's her money. Because when does the money happen? When Beis Din rules. That's what matters. Not when the act that obligates you to pay happens. When is the money money? When Beis Din says pay. Understand? So therefore, if Beis Din says pay before she turned 12 and a half, then it's the father's money, not hers. Okay? Because when did Beis Din rule? Before she was 12 and a half. But if Beis Din, even if the story happened before, but if Beis Din ruled when she was 12 and three quarters, that the guy has to pay the money, so who's the obligation of the money to now? The girl's a begetis, not the father. Over 12 and a half, the money goes to her. Therefore, if the father dies, the money goes to her.
According to the halacha, the married woman don't get Yerusha, but non-married girl, like, they get Yerusha? This is
no.
The law?
It's not
the law?
No. Not Torah law.
What is the Torah law for the girl?
Ish ki yomus uvein ein lei, v'nasatas nachlosi lebitri. Torah says, when a father dies, if there are sons, the sons inherit. Not the girls. I'm not telling you what they do today. Today's a whole different world. No, even in Torah law, they don't do it for different reasons. I'll tell you in a second. If a father dies and he has sons, the sons get, not the daughters. Okay? He can have 12 or 15 daughters and one like tiny newborn boy. That boy gets everything. The girls get nothing. In Yerusha. Okay? The estate has to support them until they get married. That's a whole different story. If there's no sons, then the daughter gets. Correct? Now, take it even a step further. The Torah says, this is a pasuk in Chumash, by the way. This is not the Gemara. What happens if the father had a son who had a daughter? Got it? There's a man, son, daughter, grandfather, son, granddaughter, and there are other siblings also of the father. The father had five kids, one boy, four girls. Yeah? The boy gets married and has a daughter. Correct? Then the son dies first. before the father. Got it? And then the father dies. See, he has four daughters and one granddaughter from the son. The granddaughter gets, not the girls. Because who got the Yerusha? The son. She inherits her father because there's no other boys. That's a Pasuk in Chumash. I mean, with Rashi. Okay? That's the din in Torah. So therefore, this girl is not getting anything. Because if she gets a fine, why doesn't she inherit part of the fine at least? Because the answer, when they're boys, the girls don't inherit. So if it's the father's money, and then the father dies, the brothers get it. If it's not the father's money, then it's hers. And if it's her money, why should the brothers get it? They don't get anything. Understand? So what do people, we discussed this one before, what do people do today? They have a bunch of kids. Yeah? And they want to make all the kids equal. They want to start this, you know,
Sibling rivalry.
So now it's just throw, they have a bezdin that makes you sign a paper, you give up your Yerusha, whatever. But in America, what most people, from the people, when they write a will, yeah? Which is a school to live long, by the way. When they write a will, they write like this. Let's say they have, for argument's sake, they have six kids. Three and three. Okay? Three boys, three girls. And they want all the kids to inherit equally. But Torah says Yerusha, boys get and not the girls. So you don't want to take away a Torah law. So what do? You make a, it's basically a trust, okay? You make a new will, like a trust fund that, like this. A minute before I die, I'm giving away 99% of my estate as a gift to all six kids. I can give a gift when I'm alive. I can do whatever I want. Right? So it's a legal document. A minute before I die, I can't make all your money because you have to leave over Yerusha to do something Torah with it, right? So you say, I mean, the numbers could, whatever. 99% of my estate, I'm giving away as a gift to my six kids, equally. The 1% left, which is, I'm going to keep as inheritance, so let's say it's $100, $500, whatever, over there, the boys will get, and the girls won't get. And then you can make, the bchor gets double, you know, if there's a firstborn son, then he gets double, so then, you know. So by then, what you have like this, you're not taking away Yerusha, the din of Yerusha stays. You're leaving over money for inheritance, right. And over there, the boys are going to get, the girls not are going to get.
Right.
And the bchor will get double. Right? But, and like this, you give away a gift, so everybody gets equally. But that's how you circumvent. Not to comment, you just think it's only chometz, you know what I mean? It's a legal way of giving a gift to what you want to do.
This is the practice of the Frum people of Hasidim, or some they rather to do Yerusha and not to do this. What is the right?
No.
The Rebbe talks about this? Or?
No.
It's completely legal. It's not.
No, I mean, what is the right thing to do? Which one is the right thing? To deliver Yerusha or to do the trust?
You ask me personally, you want to make less fights in the family?
No, I want, what is, no, what is the minhag of the Chabad?
That's what you should do. What do you want to differentiate one kid from the next?
The Torah didn't think about this.
Torah thought about it, but the Torah had a different concept then. Because Torah had a thing like this. The boys inherit, but the girls, until they get married, had to be fed from the estate. And if there's not enough money, the girls get fed from the estate, then the boys go beg. Okay?
Hopefully.
But today it doesn't work like that.
Can you explain that one more time, what you just said before?
What?
How was it then? That why the boys get the...
No, I'm just saying, in biblical law, when a father dies, and there's boys and girls,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, the boys get it.
The boys get the inheritance.
Right.
But the girls are taken care of from the estate.
Until they get married.
And they don't get inheritance, but they're taken care of from the estate.
But the inheritance are going to the boys.
Right. But the estate boys have to take care of the girls first.
The boys have to support the sisters.
The boys, in other words, you're saying the boys, whatever the boys receive, they have to take care of the sisters.
They have to take care of the sisters to get married. Now, what happens if there's not enough money in the inheritance to do both? So the Gemara says the girls don't go begging. The girls get from the estate, and the boys go beg.
Wow.
So it wasn't some... in those days, it was practical. How many guys left over millions of dollars?
The idea was that the boys are in charge to take care of the...
Correct. Correct.
As far as financially.
Correct.
Hopefully the girls will get married.
Okay, whatever. Then the husband's stuck with them.
So are we talking about the Yerusha? This is the concept of Yerusha? Or are we talking
about... No, that this that he say he goes to the brothers of the girl. Why is it going to the brothers?
Yerusha.
It's the father's money. And then it says Meso Av. So then you're talking about Yerusha. Who gets the Yerusha? The boys, not the girls.
No, I mean, are we discussing the laws of Yerusha
here? No.
That's
but
not the way.
That's not the main thing. The Gemara is just saying, once Beis Din rules, it's the father's money. And then if he dies, it's Yerusha. But if Beis Din didn't rule and the father dies, then the girl gets the money because Beis Din never gave the money to the father yet. So why should the... The state doesn't get it. The girl gets it. Okay. Rav Shimon argues. And he says, forget about Beis Din ruling. Even if they didn't collect the money until the father died, then she gets it also. In other words, Rav Shimon, the first opinion says, once Beis Din rules... It's like the father got the money and the girl doesn't get it.
Right.
Rav Shimon says no. Until the money is collected, not when Beis Din rules.
Oh, okay.
If the money is collected after the father died, even if Beis Din ruled before, she gets it. Because Rav Shimon says, the fact that Beis Din obligates you to pay is not the father's money yet.
Huh.
When you collect it, it's the father's money.
Right. Poel or Koach, yeah?
Right.
We don't rule like Rav Shimon, I don't think.
And the Gemara's gonna, like Rashi says, the Gemara will show the source of it.
This is Rav Shimon Yochai, or?
Yeah. Stam Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon Yochai. And the same thing is the same thing Rashi says in the last case of the Mishnah. You know, if she became a Begetis before or after, right? So Rav Shimon Yochai holds, until the money is collected, it's not collected. So if the father dies, even after the ruling of Beis Din, if Beis Din ruled, the father gets the money. Yeah? So the first Tana says, that's it, the father gets the money, it's his money, and the boys get it, not her. If Shimon holds until the money is collected, it's not the father's. And the one's going to bring the source right up. Shimon says what he says. Okay, now we're not done with the Mishnah. Ma'ase yodeho mitziyosa. What happens, a girl, again, from 12 to 12 and a half, top of Membeis. Whatever she earns, whatever she finds, yeah, during the father's lifetime, even if she didn't collect the money yet, the brothers get it. It's interesting. A girl worked in a job, yeah? She gets paid $100 a week. Okay? So she gets paid once a month. So she's supposed to get $400. Before she collected the money, the father died. She worked, but she didn't get paid yet. And the father died. Who gets the money? So the Mishnah says the brothers get the money. And here Rav Shimon would also agree.
Because anything that the girl owns while the father is alive and under the father's
house.
I don't understand Rav Shimon's opinion.
Okay.
Well,
she's not married.
It's something I understand.
Right. In other words, we're not talking about the same case where she was violated.
No. Just stop. Another rule, general rule.
Oh, I see.
12 she's to 12 and a half year old girl walks in the street and finds a diamond.
Yeah.
It's the father's.
Right.
The girl works.
Father's.
Money goes to the father.
She
why?
Lives in the house.
Because she lives in the house. The father is supporting her. So therefore the Chum said, the father supports her. Whatever she earns goes to him. But here the chiddush is, not the Rav Shimon in the first part of Mishnah says, if the money's not collected, it's not the father's yet. Here we would agree it still goes to the father.
Question,
but
this is Rav Shimon, I have a question about it. Let's say the father's on his way to case scenario. Father's on his way to collect the money from Beis Din, has a heart attack, and dies on the way to collect the money. On the way to collect the money.
He didn't get it yet. According to Rav Shimon, he didn't get it. It goes to her, not the kids.
It goes to her.
That's right.
Even if she's not a Bulgarian.
No, not a Naira.
I mean, no. If she's a Naira.
Yeah. The money still goes to her.
What about those
the money still goes to her even if she's not a Bulgarian.
Yeah. Because the father's dead.
So does it go to the Achim?
Why should it go to the Achim? They never got the money. It's not their father's to inherit to them.
He never collected it.
Right.
Really. What about those four daughters?
Who?
Those four daughters?
The five daughters, you mean. Salafchad?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were nice girls. But they're all married already. Forget it. Without with them, they got married, lived happily ever after.
They're old now.
So they inherited the father because there were no boys.
So according to Reb Shimon then, the Achim would never get it then.
Yeah.
The Achim would never get it. They'll never get it.
Only if the father got the money before they... Yeah.
If the father actually
collected.
Well, it sounds like the practical difference in the cases is that the first case she was violated and she's supposed to get a kanas.
Right.
In the second case, there's no kanas here. She's just working for it. It's just ownership from the father. I mean, in the first case, there's a penalty and a reward that she that's being given.
Yeah, but the difference
is there's no such thing. She's not
the difference is like this. Rashi explains the difference very simply. Knas is not a normal thing. Until Beis Din makes you pay, you're not obligated in it.
There you go.
Monetary things don't. I work for you. You have to pay me. Forget Beis Din. Beis Din's not obligating you to pay me. Right? In a case where without Beis Din, there's no obligation. So until Beis Din rules, or according to Rav Shimon even more so, until they collect the money, the father doesn't have it yet. But here there's no dispute. The girl's working for a boss. Okay?
There's no Beis Din involved.
Well, what's the Beis Din involved? Exactly. It's the father's money. She didn't collect it yet. It's like a father has a loan out. If somebody owes him money, and that money, when it's collected, goes to the kids. Because it's the father's money.
So if they didn't want to pay it, the boys would go to Beis Din to collect on the...
Right. So first case, there's no Beis Din involved. Second case, there's no Beis Din involved. So it's a difference.
In other words, by a fine, money doesn't go to the father until Beis Din rules that it does.
For the same... I have a question about the same thing. For the woman, if the husband died, so the boy is dead, girl don't get. But, and they have to support the mother?
Yeah, the mother...
So the Yerusha doesn't go to mother at all?
No, wives never inherit the husbands.
But now let's say if the case like by the... Before 12 and a half. Imagine the woman, like she makes money and...
The wife or the daughter?
No, the wife. The wife makes money and the husband dies. So the money that she gets, she can keep it herself, or she goes to the kids. The kids?
I'll tell you a little secret. If it's a second marriage, and she has no kids, who gets her money?
If it's a second marriage,
She marries first kids.
She has kids from
the first. Oh, she has kids, it doesn't matter. The money she wore goes to the husband. So who inherits it? A woman has kids.
Yes.
The stepsons. Okay?
She married a guy.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah? Now she works for a guy.
Okay.
Who keeps the money?
The husband.
Correct? Not her kids.
No.
The husband. Now, when she dies, who gets the money?
The husband.
The husband. What happens if the husband's dead?
Because his sons.
The husband's sons are going to get it.
Not her boys?
No, because the money belongs to the husband.
But she got married.
Oh, that's a different story.
Wow.
Not only that, the wife could tell the husband. In other words, the Gemara says, there's a Takanas Chachamim, okay? Chachamim said like this. The husband supports the wife. The wife has to do certain jobs for the husband. Cook, the whole spiel of the woman's responsibilities. That's the way the Chachamim set it up. Now, What happens if a woman says to the husband, you know what? Don't support me. I'll support myself, but what I make goes to me. She's allowed to say it. What happens if a woman's a very successful entrepreneur? Yeah? She has a lot of money. She doesn't need her husband's support. So normally, Allah is, he supports her, and therefore whatever she makes goes to the husband. What happens, and she has to do all the work. What happens, she says to the husband, you know what? Forget it. Don't support me. Yeah? I'll support myself. And then the money she makes goes to her.
Because well, we know that she still has to do something in the house, right?
Yeah, because batola makes you crazy. So the Chum said even then she has to do something.
But they have to write in different ketubah, because the ketubah says what is your responsibility.
Yeah, but they can do it verbally, whatever. They don't have to write in the ketubah. Yeah, you have a lot, even today, yeah? A lot of times women come from wealthy families that with trust funds set up for them and alimaisis from the time they were babies. Yeah? And then she marries a guy who's no money. She doesn't need his support. Right? So then she could say it.
But like you said, the batala...
Okay,